Now, in truth, what we need is Daf Chesam and Beis, but only three words. Amar Rav Loza. And now we turn to Daf Tesam and Aleph. HaOmer Pesach Pasuach Matzasi. Okay, let's give a little bit of background. In the old days, back in the time of Chazal, there was a year of Erusin. From the Erusin till the Nisuin, there was an entire period of a year. Now, if this woman, who's called the Arusa, would have a relationship with another man, that's a capital crime. In other words, she's an Eishes Ish. And a year is a long time, especially when she's not living with her husband. She's only in Arusa, and she's in the house of her father. And we could, if we want to be a little cynical about it, be a little suspicious. Like, maybe she had some sort of relationship. Now, we have to understand that if she did have such a relationship, even if we cannot prove it with Eidim, Hasra, you know, there's no... The grounds for... the evidence is not there to put her to death. But there are two repercussions. Number one, her husband is never, ever allowed to live with her. And that's based on a parasha of Sota called Venitma. We're going to get heavy into that. And number two, he doesn't have to pay the ksuba. He simply divorces her and that's it. Finito. Never shall they get together again. Now,
proper divorce.
Say it again?
A proper divorce.
A proper divorce he has to give her.
She cannot marry a kohen after that.
No. Well, you know what, Brian? It all depends on this sugya. How does he prove, this husband, that she had this relationship? So there are two ways of doing it. One way we're not ready for yet, but just keep it in the back of your minds. He didn't find Dam Besulin. You may remember back on Daf Hey Omid Beis, the sugya of Dam Besulin, that a man is very eager to find this Dam, because that proves that the 12-month period went by, she was loyal to him, she didn't have any relationship. If on the other hand he finds no Dam, that would seem to be indicative of the fact that she had this relationship. Now again, how this applies today in contemporary society, things have changed, but back in the day when a young girl got married, that was considered proof positive, you know, the Dam Besulin. But our sugya today is a different method. What makes him claim that she must have had this relationship? Again, there are no testimonies, there's no witnesses or anything. That's called Pesach Pasuach Matzasi. He can tell when he enters into the place whether or not she was a Besula or she had a Be'il already. If she had a Be'il already, then the opening, then the Pesach is Pasuach. It's open. And if you take a look at the first line in Rabbi Loza here on Daf Tesam and Aleph, HaOmer Pesach Pasuach Matzasi. And what's the next word, Rabbi Osai?
Nema.
And on that single word, Neman, we have a whole Shia tonight. Now, Neman, of course, means he's believed. Now, before we let the cat out of the bag, which is please cover over the next two words in the Gemara, in Rabbi Osai, what does it mean he's believed? He's believed for what? We're going to put this woman to death based on the testimony that he finds a Pesach Pasuach? Impossible. You can only put a person to death with Eidim Vasra. And again, if she did have this relationship and she was deliberate about it, she should be put to death. But we don't have any evidence to that effect. We have one man claiming that he found the Pesach Pasuach. Now, here's what I want to ask you. If it's clear, and nobody would deny it or doubt it, that we cannot put this woman to death, then what are you telling me she's Nema? Nema means he's believed. Believed for what?
It's like Palgina Medibura.
Oh, Palgina Medibura. But Palgina Medibura, Max, means that you believe him for X and not for Y.
Right.
So here, the issue is one and the same. Did she have this relationship or did she not? If she had this relationship, she should be put to death. Obviously, we cannot rely on him for that because we need two Eidim and Asra for that. So you don't believe him to testify that he didn't witness the act of some relationship that she had. Ella what? He's Neman. Neman for what? He's Neman to say Pesach Pasul. So what? Minaf Gemina. So the Gemara divides up into Tesamit Aleph and Tesamit Beis. I don't believe we'll get to Tesamit Beis tonight, but keep in mind, Tesamit Beis tonight is the question whether he has to pay a ksuba. And he says, I don't want to pay the ksuba because I found the Pesach Pasua. I'm not going to pay I'm not going to pay 200 zuz for a woman who's a bu'ula. But Tesamit Aleph, which we're studying tonight, addresses a different aspect of his nemus. Because as we said before, from the parish of Sotav and Nitma, we derive the conclusion that a married woman who has a relationship can no longer live with her husband. And by the way, if the Boel is identified, she cannot live with him. You know, this could be very interesting. You know, her husband divorces her, and then she goes back to the adulterer, I should say, and gets married to him. No. The Torah says v'nitma twice, echa l'baal and echa l'boel, that she's not allowed to live neither with the baal, because she was moel, as we call it, behegdesh, so to speak. She was disloyal, and she can't live with the boel as well. And this we discussed, if you remember, back on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, in the Tosas Dibra Maschil, V'lidrash Lahu Dodo Shari, which we spent at least 1 hour on, if not twice in a minute. Says Rabbi Lozar, Omer Pesach Pasuf Matzasi, Neman Liosra Lov. He's believed not for Ksuma at this point, that's going to be the Sugya and Daf Tesam in Beis, but he's believed to engender the Iser V'nitma upon himself. Now wait a second, we just finished saying that he's not objective, this is not objective evidence, we're not going to put her to death. So if it's not objective credibility, then what are we left with? Subjective credibility. And what's that called in halakhic terms? Excellent. Shavya nafshei chatich v'disur. This whole sugya revolves around this principle that Daniel mentions called Shavya nafshei chatich v'disur. For example, Reuven is a great shochet. He's reliable. He's been shechting for the last 50 years. Well, I shouldn't say 50 years because then maybe his hands are shaking. I don't know. Now, Reuven shechts an animal. And Shimon comes along and he says that I know that shechita was a shechita psula. What's the deal? Can you and I eat from the meat? Yes. But Shimon can't eat from the meat. That's called Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Disur. Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Disur, and I'll drill it into you, because it's going to be very critical for our sugya, means that a person can take upon himself an Isur. He can testify. Again, objectively, we can't rely on his testimony. The Shochet is believed. It's called Biyodo. He's Neman to say, I shechted properly. You want to say that you saw something that was unusual and you led you to the conclusion that the shechita was psua? That's your problem. And it's only your problem, no one else's problem. But as far as yourself, you are Neman. You have credibility on yourself.
Can I just say one? So in that case, she's forbidden to him, but she might be able to still marry a guy that...
Absolutely. It's only an account. Neman li osra alav. Only on him, as the doc says, it has no repercussions other than him. That's shaviyach nafshi chaticha disur. I can be believed for myself, but it has no implication, no repercussions for anyone else. She can marry this. But, you know, it's a funny kind of thing, doc, because we don't know who the Boel is. Even the Baal, who says Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, doesn't know who the Boel is. But any Boel is enough to engender the Iser V'nitma. The only question is, let's say she knows who the Boel is. Of course, she's denying the whole story. But if she herself knows who the Boel is, let's say she does tshuva, she cannot marry the Boel. That also comes on the Shavya Nafsha Chaticha Lisur. So you're right, Doc, there are two facets here to the subjective Shavya Nafsha here. Objectively, Bezdin cannot take any measures and punish anybody. We don't have Edim and Asra. But subjectively, under the law of Shavya Nafsha, we have two different discussions. He can't live with her because he found the Pesach Pasuach, and ipso facto she had this extramarital relation. She can't live with the Boel insofar as she knows who the Boel is. Again, she's going to deny the whole story. But if, let's say, at some point she does tshuva, then she can't live with the Boel. So that's going to be the sugya now.
What happens if she was raped or something like that?
Excellent. That's going to be the sugya now. Okay, so both of your questions are correct, and that's going to be the sugya. Now, even if he found a Pesach Pasuach, the Gemara is going to say, from this vein, even so, he should be allowed to marry this woman.
Would he know what it is?
Oh, you're asking all the great questions. We've been assuming that what a person knows to be Asur is Asur, at least for him, even if he can't prove it objectively in a court, but the assumption, the premise has to be that he knows what he's talking about. And that's called in the language of the Shas, Kimle. Kimle means he can recognize. He's enough of a bucky. Who says that he knows what a Pesach Pasuch is all about? Meaning, you cannot look or impose upon him the law of Shavya Nafshe unless you assume he knows. For example, if I saw a Shchita, certainly of a Behemah Gatzah, I wouldn't know the difference. You know, if I told you that looks fishy to me, that's meaningless. That's baba mice. I don't know what Shkita looks like. If there was another Shochet there, and he witnessed the Shkita of his friend, that could be Shavya Nafshichat, because that's Kimle. You know, he's an expert. He knows how to recognize Shkita, what's Ksher or not. In this case, what are we assuming over here? And this is going to be an issue in the Rishon. But first, let's go through the Gemara. The Gemara says the following. Vamai. Why should we apply the principle of Shavya Nafshi Chaticha Disura? Why does Rabbi Lazar insist that a Omer Pesach Pasuch Matzasi Neman Li Osra Olav? After all, the Gemara says, Svek Spekahu, this is a double suffek. Now watch this. If you could write this down, again, if I had a luach, I would write it down. In order for the Pesach Pasuach to lead us to the conclusion that she is indeed Asura Olav, that he can no longer resume his relationship with her, we have to make two assumptions. Number one, we have to assume that this relationship, this bia, took place within the last 12 months. There's always a possibility that the bia took place 13 months ago, before she was in Arusa. Now, I wouldn't give her, you know, a medal for having a relationship before the Erusin, and certainly he has rights to claim, well, I'm not going to give her a ksuba, but as far as the Osra love, that relationship has no implication as, you know, in terms of a nitma. So the first answer you have to give me is that, yeah, okay, Pesach Pasuach, she had a be'ilah, but it took place during that period of 12 months. That's called tahtov.
That's cool.
Tahtov. Tahtov means under him, which means under his domain. Tahtov. Then you have to answer another question. And that was Brian's question. Was it Beratzon, this beer that she had, even if I grant you it was during the 12-month period, was it Beratzon, or was it Ba'onis? If it was Ba'onis, if she was raped, then the law is that never a married woman who was raped is not Asur al-Bailah. She can resume our relationship.
She can.
She can, with one exception.
A coin.
So that's a coin. So that's what the Gemara asks here. Amai Svek Svekahu. Suffolk number one, Tachtov, Suffolk ain't Tachtov. Ain't Tachtov means before the Erisin. Number two, Vim Tim Tzolomer, even if you want to be Machmer and tip the scale of the first Suffolk, and assume it was Tachtov, Suffolk Ba'ones, Suffolk Ba'Rotzon. What happens when we combine two Svekas? That becomes a Svek Sveka. And the Torah itself is Matir Svek Sveka. And if the Torah is matir svek sveka, we don't have to be machmir. We don't have to go beyond the head. The Torah is matir svek sveka, and that's it. End of story. So I remember we had a case where we found milchika dishes in the fleishika rack. Did it ever happen to you? It's quite common. I used to get to Shiloh all the time. So my wife couldn't believe that I said it's mutter, you don't have to do a thing, just make sure to clean it off in cold water. She said, why? So first she thought, oh, I married a YU guy. And then I explained to her that it has nothing to do with YU. It's sex fake. Why is this sex fake? First of all, I'm not sure if this, you know, this spoon or whatever it might be, this plate, was washed together with fleishiks, right? It's a milchika spoon. And second of all, even if it was washed with fleishiks, who says that the water was yad so lettuce po, was hot? Now, in truth, there's a third suffix you can add, but I didn't want to confuse her. It's also a suffix whether it was a ben yomo or an ain't a ben yomo, because even if I assume that this fleishika thing that got mixed up here was fleishika, but who says it was used for fleishika in the last 24 hours? Or I'll give you another example.
If it's not a ben yomo, then
even if everything's muta. Again, you can't use it. You can't take an ben yomo milchix and use it for fleishiks. That you're not allowed to do. But if it happened, it happened. And it remains kosher v'yosher. It doesn't need hagol. I remember we had an issue about chadosh in chutz laretz. What does that mean? So we have two sveikas. First of all, says the Rambam, we don't know if it was planted before Pesach or after Pesach. And then he says, even if you'll tell me that it was planted after Pesach, he says, but maybe the Hashrasha took place after Pesach. What does that mean? There are two critical moments in the growth of grains as far as halach is concerned. One is called Zriya and one is called Hashrosha. Hashrosha takes place 72 hours after Zriya. So the Rambam wants to say that I have two arguments here that lead me to the conclusion that this is Yosha. Number one, it's quite possible that this was planted last year, meaning before Pesach. And not only that, it's possible that the Hashrosha took place before Pesach. And everybody gets up in arms and says that is not a valid Svek Sveka. A valid Svek Sveka means that both Svekas are independent. For example, in our Gemara we have two independent Svekas, two reasons to be Matir. One to be Matir because she didn't have a Bia Tachtov, and another because even if she had a Bia Tachtov, it was Ba'ones. That is your paradigm of a Svek Sveka. But if you come up with two Svekas that are really one and the same, you know, just different formulations of the same Sofek, so that's not called a Svek Sveka. And I'll give you an example. Take a look at the Gemara's answer. The Gemara's answer is Lo Tzricha B'Eshes Kohen. What's the deal if a man who's a Kohen marries a woman and finds a Pesach Pasuch? Rabbi Elazar says that's only one suffix. Why? We don't know if the beer was Tachtov or ain't Tachtov. That's a valid suffix. But if the beer was Tachtov, she's automatically ipso facto Asura Olah. Why? Because a Kohen is also even in the case of Onus, even if she had an Onus situation. So Tosus says V'yim Tomar, one second. Oh, wait a minute, we have to read one whole line in the Gemara before Vim Tomar. Or the Gemara says, V'Iboy is Emo. Okay, let's say it's not a Kohen, we didn't lock out here. V'Eshes Yisrael, a non-Kohen married this woman. But Kigon, the Kibel Ba Avua, Kiddushin, Pchusa Mibashol Shan V'Echot. that the marriage took place when she was less than 3 years old. Now, how could a woman be married and she's less than three? The answer is her father marries her off. If her father married her off before the age of three, then by definition, when did she have the bia? It's got to be tachtav. Because if the bia took place lav tachtav, before the marriage, then besuleh chozrin, then she would still be a besula, even though she had a be'ila. So if I ever ask you a quiz question, how could a woman have already had a be'ila, and yet she's still a besula? The answer is, she had that be'ila before the ripe old age of 3 years old. Okay? So in this case of an Eishes Yisrael, we drop one of the two sfeikas. We have a suffix whether it's ones or ratzon. Correct? That's a valid suffix. But if it was ratzon, ball game over, she's asural. If there's no additional suffix of tachtav or lo tachtav. Why? Because the father was makabel kedushin, he married her off when?
Don't you know that though?
Before her third birthday.
But shouldn't you know that? I mean, can we just say we're not talking about that case?
I'm not sure if I understand your question. Ask it one more time.
He comes and says petach patuach. I mean, right. They say, oh, maybe she was, maybe he was mechabel kedushin before he was three.
No, not maybe. What the Gemara is saying is that Rabbi Loza, when he said nemel yosov, he was talking about one of two scenarios. Either he was addressing the scenario of an Eishes Kohen or of Chusam Ivaskim. In those cases, and only in those two cases, nemel yosov. Otherwise, it's a sfek sfek. Now I want to show you Tosas. V'im tomar, see the Tosas Dibra Masa V'boyis Ema, V'im tomar akati ika svek svek. Even if I grant you that she accepted Kedusha, then a father accepted Kedusha when she was less than three, which completely liquidates, neutralizes the suffix of taktov or lo taktov, I still have a svek svek. Suffix ba'ones, suffix ba'rotza. The intim tzaloma beratzon, if let's say she agreed to this relationship, sarfik she ktana. Maybe she had relationship when she was a ktana before the age of 12. Upitui ktana ones hu. It's what they call in American law statutory rape. Meaning, a man cannot say, well, this woman, who's a minor, who's so young, consented to have the relationship. That doesn't cut the mustard. In halachic terms, which came way before the secular law, this is called pitui ktana ones. That by definition, if a ktana, even if she submitted herself to this relationship, that's called a rape situation, that's called an ones. So Rabosai, without looking, this is the challenge I want to give you. What's the answer to Tosa's question? Truth is, I saw the answer to Tosa's, but many, many moons ago. But I know the answer to Tosas.
It's one
suffix. Exactly, it's one suffix. Why is it one suffix?
The birth based on the fact that it's Barotza.
The fact that it's
under three.
It's honest.
But
it's not Barotza. In other words, the heter here. What is Svexvik? Svexvik means I have two materium here. I have a matir of ones and a matir of lav tachtov. And never the twain shall meet. They don't even overlap. I mean, they could overlap, but they're independent one of the other. A woman is muteris labailo if she had a beer relationship, lav tachta, before the marriage was clinched. A woman is muteris labailo if she had an onus, unless he's a kohen. Those are two separate materia. That's what a svek svek is all about. But in this case, Tosas wants to create a svek svek when there's really only one suffering. What is he saying? He's saying that even in the worst case scenario, if she had ratzon, well, that ratzon is not a ratzon, because maybe she was a ktana, and if she was a ktana, pita ktana ones. But at the end of the day, he's being matir because of ones. Why is it ones? Either it's ones because she didn't submit herself, in the literal sense she was raped, or it's ones because halachically, legally, it's called ones, because pita ktana ones. But either way, no matter how you slice the cake, it always comes back to onus. This is an invalid svek svek. And the Pnei Yehoshua racks his brains to try to figure out why Tosas even asked this question. And he comes to the following conclusion. that Tosfos has, at least in his Hava Mina, his premise, a totally different understanding of Sfek Sveika. Sfek Sveika is Rove. Sfek Sveika is probability theory. And the Pnei Yeshua quotes a Rashba and accuses the Rashba, I think it's maybe a false accusation, but accuses the Rashba of identifying Sfek Sveika with Rove. What does it mean to identify Sfek Sveika with Rove? It's not the way we understood it, that there are two independent Sfeikas, two independent Matirim. No! It's bolstering the chances that it's this way, Lakula, rather than this way, Lakhumra. In every Sfek Sveika, you could say the following, right? You have a flowchart. You've got 50-50. If it's this 50, it's Aser. If it's this 50, it's Mutter. But then go into the 50 that's Aser, and you have another Sfek. So let's say, for example, I would assume that I have a 50-50 chance that this was Ones Beratzel. But even within Ones, there's a 50% chance that maybe it was Lav Tachta. So what do I end up percentage-wise? 75%. That's called a Rov. If that be the case, Tosfos says the following. Let's assume there's a 50% chance that she did it Beratzel. But there's also a 50% chance, even if she did it Beratzel, that she was still a Ketana. Now I have 75% chance that she's Mutaris Lebailo. So if we look at Sfek Sveika from the perspective of two abstract, independent Sveikos, two Sibos Hamatir, then Tosfos has no argument, because at the end of the day, whether you call it the Ones Mamish or you call it Pitu Ketanim Ones, you're always coming from the same perspective with the same Matir of Ones. But if you look at Sfek Sveika from a more, shall I call it, a technical perspective, that Sfek Sveika is just there to bolster and increase the chances of Heter, and it's no longer a pure Sfek of 50-50, because even if I assume in the worst case scenario, I could still subdivide up into another 50-50, and I add that 25 with the original 50, I get 75% Lakula, then Tosfos makes sense.
Is the Sfek ultimately 50-50?
I assume so, until I know otherwise.
We see some Sveikas where, yeah, the chances are free that one, because it's up, really it's 9 to 10.
So I would say to you the following, Daniil, if it's already, you know, 60-40, then that's already Rove. Where would your argument be valid? Again, I don't want to get too far off on a tangent, but there's sometimes, some very rare cases where the halacha requires vada. And there, and this is a famous Shita Mekubetzis in Bava Metzia, their Rove is not good enough. You know, 60-40 would still be considered suffering. Why? Because the Torah went out of its way and said Vadai. So I'll give you two quick examples. In Mamzer, there's a loch of Mamzer Vadai Velo Mamzer Suffering. So even if you had 60% chance that this guy's a Mamzer, he's not a Mamzer. Again, the Metzius may be that, you know, he's born of blah, 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 and therefore he should be a Mamzer. He's not a Mamzer. Because Mamzer is a halachic category, and the Torah says a Mamzer is only a Mamzer Vada. I'll give you another example. This I mentioned in my drasha last this Pir Shabbos. This halacha in Meiser Behema, that it's got to be Asiri Vadai Velo Asiri Sofik. So the Gemara says if one goat was counted, and it's not Maser, and now it jumps into the corral, he can no longer establish a Vadai Maser, because any single animal will be a Suffolk. Maybe he's already been counted, and he's Potter. I freak the Shita Mekubet says, but the Torah says rely on Rove. You've got a massive herd of goats that haven't been counted yet, and one single kid, right, one single kid betrays Zuze, jumps back into the corral. Why not apply Rove? The answer is, says the Shita Mekubetzis, because Rove is still a Suffolk. The Torah says that you could be Machria the Rove, but the Suffolk remains a Suffolk. And with regard to Meiser, there's a special Xeris Akosiv, Asiri Vadai Velo Asiri Suffolk. I wanted to suggest philosophically that it means whenever you're counting something, you have to be absolutely convinced, with absolute certainty. You can't say, well, you know, I don't know if tonight is the 46th night of the Omer, if it's the 47th night, I'll count both. There is no By the way, both of those are wrong, so I'm okay. Right? But there is no way of counting 2 days, two numbers as a suffix. Fine. Okay. So let's get back to Tosis and just read the line of the answer. Tosis, he says, V'yesh lomar d'shem ones chadhu. And that, I believe, is where Tosis completely rejects this concept of the Pnei Yeshua that identifies Svek Sveka with Rov. Nay, Svek Sveka is two healthy, independent Svekas. It's not just another way of saying the same thing over and over again. The Matir, if you repeat it over, that's not a Svek Sveka. Only when you come up with a new Matir from a different angle, then it qualifies as a Svek Sveka. So this sugi that we're learning now becomes the paradigm case in Kol HaTorah Kula for a Svek Sveka. If a Svek Sveka doesn't match up to this description of number one, maybe it was Lav Takov, number two, even if it was Takov, it's Ones, it was Ones, then it's not a Svek Sveka, it just doesn't qualify. What would you say about the following case? Let's say a man shechts an animal and we don't know if the animal was a treifa or not a treifa. Okay? So that's called suffix treifa. Now that suffix treifa gets mixed up with other animals. So anytime I take one animal, or piece of meat, I should say, right? Anytime I take out a piece of meat, I have a double suffix. Number one, I don't know if it's that piece of meat that was a suffix treifa that fell in. And number two, even if I would know that it's that suffix treifa, maybe it's not treifa at all, because it's only a suffix treifa. Would that qualify as a svek sveka? This is the famous case called suffix echad beguf, suffix echad betarovis. Why do you say, Daniel, it's not a svek sveka?
Same piece of meat.
Yeah, but it's a different kind of suffix. One suffix is whether or not one suffix is in the shechita, let's say, you know what I mean, in the biological structure of the animal. The other suffix is in the identity of the animal. So it's fascinating. The poskim say that this is not a svek sveka. Why? Because in order to create a svek sveka, you need that both svekas be on the same goof. Here, one of the two svekas has nothing to do with the goof. It has to do with tarovas. In other words, with the mixture. So svek sveka means that both svekas overlap at a certain point, they pinpoint, and that creates a svek sveka. So if I can separate the two svekas, and I can say, well, look, in terms of taroves, well, if there's no bittul, it's us. In terms of suffix treifa, well, if it's suffix treifa, my friend, sorry to notify you, it's us. In that case, I can't combine the two svekas. The two svekas are too far removed. But when I have a woman, and in order to establish that she's asura, al baila, I have to say, number one, she had to be a tachta, but that itself is not enough. I have to add to that that the beer was baratzon in the case of Eishes Yisrael. That's called a svek sveka. Okay. So the Gemara says the following: Maika mashmal. Unbelievable! The Gemara went from one extreme to the other. Initially, the Gemara says, "I can't make any heads or tails out of Erev Lozer. Why should she be asura love? After all, we have our luck of svek sveka." Now the Gemara says, "My kamashmalan, I don't understand. What is Erev Lozer teaching me? For sure, she's asura love. What happened in between? In between the original question and the second question, we found out that we're talking. Erev Lozer is talking about either an Eishes Kohen or a Pchusa Mibas Shalosh. And what's common in both of those cases? There's only one suffix. So what do I need Rav Lozer to tell me? That one suffix is awesome? Everybody knows that suffix d'oraisa l'chumra. Oh, so the Gemara says, well, wait a minute. You know what? One suffix is awesome, but who says that we should believe him? What testimony, what evidence does he adduce to support his claim? He's saying he found the Pesach Pasul. So the Gemara says, Tanin, we have this in a Mishnah. The Mishnah is in Masechta Kiddushin. Anyone who learned Kiddushin recently, Brian, will remember this, no doubt. No, I wasn't being cynical. Maybe I was. I don't know. Ha'omer le'isha, a man says to a woman, Kidashtich, I married you. Now in truth, but even if you grant that he's believed, what difference does it make? I mean, he can marry two women. He omeres lo kidashtani, I never accepted kiddushin from you. His word against her. Oh, so the answer is, he's not allowed to marry her sister. Why? Because he himself admits that he married her. So if a man says, I married you, Leah, then by definition, he can't marry Rachel. So the Mishnah says, V'omeres lo kidashtani, he muteres bekrovav, she's allowed to marry his brother, even though going to get his claim, Reuven, Shimon is Eshes Achiv, you know, that's an error of a mamish. But the who aser bekrovosel, he cannot marry her sister.
Why can't he marry her sister?
Oh. Why can't he marry her sister? And the answer is Shavya Nafshe Chatir Tisur. So the real source of Shavya Nafshe Chatir Tisur is not in Ksuvis, it's in Masechta Kiddushin. It's mamish codified in a Mishnah in Masechta Kiddushin. If Reuven says he married Leah, then ipso facto he's saying that Rachel, Leah's sister, is his achos ishto, is an erev to him, and he can never marry. Now again, if he murders Leah, that's different, because the iser of achos ishto is only v'chayeh. But as long as Leah is healthy, he can't marry Ruch.
How did Yaakov marry?
Oh, that's a gewaldige kash. So again, there are many answers to that question. I'll just give you the Ramban's answer, because since we've been celebrating in the month of Iyar already, now we're in Sivan, a couple of holidays that commemorate the state of Israel and the success of the wars in Israel, Yerushalayim. So I'll tell you this. The Ramban says that in Chutz La'aretz, all the mitzvahs are just practice. The mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael. You know this Ramban? You never heard this Ramban? Freud, a guy like you, never heard of this Ramban? You have to know this Ramban. The Ramban is actually in two places.
I always tell people in Chutz La'aretz that just practice.
Yeah, just practice.
They don't like to hear it. They always think how much further than
so the Ramban says that indeed Rachel died before Yaakov went back to the land. Right? She died Beit Lechem. I'm sorry. I blanked out there for a second. Beit Lechem. Right before they crossed the border. And why did she have to die then? Because if she would have still been alive when they crossed the border, Yaakov would have been guilty of being married to two sisters.
And he was married before, no?
But that was in Chutz La'aretz.
But married in Chutz La'aretz, and they can't use
it. That's what I'm saying. He never was married to two women in Israel. She died. Rachel died before they crossed the border into Israel.
My question is, Rabbi, that if they got married in Chutz La'aretz, right, as a practice, right, and then they decided to come and do the real thing and come to the big Israel,
no,
you can't turn the clock back. I mean, it happened in Chutz La'aretz.
Right, but he was allowed to be married to two wives in Chutz La'aretz.
But then when he comes to Israel, when are we allowed to come? Even that happened.
He would not be allowed to be married to two wives. He would have to divorce one of the wives, because he can't be married simultaneously to two sisters.
Even that happened in Chutz.
Even if the original marriage was in Chutz. That's called jurisdiction? Okay. So now we have the problem that Rabbi Elazar is really not telling me anything. Because I already know from a Mishnah in Kiddushin way before Rabbi Elazar, that Shavya Nafshi Chaticha Disura, a man has no objective evidence to prove that he married Leah, and yet he's not allowed to marry Rachel, because Shavya Nafshi Chaticha Disura. So if a man finds a Pesach Pasuah, then obviously if there's only one suffix, that's Shavya Nafshi Chaticha Disura. So what's the Chiddush of Rabbi Elazar? Says the Gemara, Ma'u de Tema, I would have said the following, Hossam over there in Kiddushin, Devadei Kimle, he for sure knows that he married Leah. No one else knows, but he knows. And therefore, Shavya Nafshi applies. That's called Kimle. Do you remember I spoke to you about Kimle? Aval Hacha, but I would have said here, in the case of Pesach Pasuach, make him Hu de Lo Kimle. It's a case of Lo Kimle. Why is it a case of lo kimle? Because who says that he knows how to identify a Pesach Pasuach? Maybe he doesn't know what it's all about. Rashi says, Aval hacha, it's a few lines before it starts getting wide. Ema mitoch shepanui haya. What does panui mean? He's a single guy, he was never married. Eno baki, he doesn't know the first, you know, beans about what about a Pesach this way and a Pesach that way, you know what I'm saying? He's making hu delo kimle. Velo miaser. And there's no Isur Shavya Nafshi Chatifa Disura. Again, the Chiddush of Shavya Nafshi is that although we don't know, he knows. But if he doesn't know, that's not Shavya Nafshi Chatifa Disura.
So it makes another suffix in a sense.
Ah. So the doc says, well, that makes another suffix. So maybe it makes it into a Sfek Sfek. That's pretty sharp. But in truth, we don't even have to say that. Maybe it could be the Yosfar will help us down the line. We'll see where we can plug it in. But at this point, we don't need that because if it's lo kimle, then it's not Shavya Nafshi Chatifa Disura. And then the Gemara says, Kamash. And here starts the fireworks. Kamash and what? One school of Rishonim is going to say, Kamash that he is a Baki, meaning that even though he was never married before, he can know to identify a Pesach Pasuach. And the other school of thought says that Rabbi Lozer is being Mechadish a Gemaldig Chiddush, that even if he's not Kimle, and even if I grant you he doesn't know what he's batting about, we still apply Kimle with Rabbi. We still apply the principle of Shavya Nafshi Chatich L'Yisru. Why? Because he thinks. If he thinks it's Asur, if he's convinced himself that it's Asur, if he says, look, rabbis, with all due respect, I can recognize the Pesach Pasuach, I know. No one else believes him, but he believes himself. Then Shavya Nafshi Chatich L'Yisru. So the bottom line, just to summarize our sugya so far, if we take a little bit of a pause, what we're saying is that Rabbi Lozer would make no sense if it was a Sfek Sveika. And therefore, Nem Eliyahu Shel of Rabbi Lozer must be predicated on a single suffix. We got to drop and negate one of the two sfeikas. How do we do that? One of two ways. In the case of a Kohen, we drop the suffix of Ones, and we're left with the suffix of Tachtov. In the case of a Pchus of Ibas Gibel, we drop the suffix of Tachtov, and we're only left with the suffix. We drop the suffix of Tachtov, and we're only left with the suffix of Ones. Then the Gemara says, well, if you're reducing Rabbi Lozer to the cases of one single suffix, then what did Rabbi Lozer have to add to us that we didn't know? Eliel tell me well, there's no objective evidence, but the Mishnah says in Kiddushin that even if there's no objective evidence, Shavya Nafshei Chaticha Disura. And therefore, if Reuven claims I married Leah, he can no longer marry Rachel. So Gemara answers, Mal detem, I would have thought without Rabbi Lozer, Lo Kimle. There's no Shavya Nafshi because he doesn't know what he's batting about. Kamash Malon, and here we don't know what Kamash Malon means. Is it Kamash Malon, the Nem Eliyahu Shel of, because in fact it's quite common and quite feasible and plausible that he does recognize the Pesach Pasuach? Or the Kamash Malon is, I couldn't care less. Even if we don't believe him iota, we think he's the whole thing is a fantasy in his mind because he can't possibly recognize the Pesach Pasuach. He's convinced that he found the Pesach Pasuach. And therefore, Shavya Nafshei Chaticha Disura applies.
Does he have, if he's got this doubt, he's going to come out with it, or can he just ignore it and say, well, let's sleeping dogs lie?
If you mean he changes his mind, he says, you know what, rabbis, I think you convinced me, I don't know what I'm banning about. Is that the case?
No,
what's the case?
He's got this suffix in his head that the woman wasn't the virgin when she got married.
Right.
But he says, no, well, I'm married now, I'm happy, I like the woman. Does he?
No. He can't. He's not allowed to do that. We'll beat him blue in the face, you know, in the black and blue, to make sure. Like, for example, if let's say back in the Mishnah in Kiddushin, this guy decides, you know what, I'm going to marry Rachel. Do me something. We'll beat the living daylights out of him. We're not going to let him live with Leah. He's already made this statement. In fact, I'll tell you a secret.
If he didn't make the statement.
Oh, he never made a statement.
I never made a statement, but he
comes to the rabbi and he says, "You know what? I'm not willing to make a statement, but I suspect something." Yeah. No, I think in that case the rabbi's going
to
say.
He comes to the rabbi, just ignores it. He himself property, though. He doesn't have it. He's not doing that.
Well, there are two issues that you're raising here. Number one is, do we have to sort of intervene and convince him that, look, if you have the suspicion, you should be Poresh? If, let's say, we got wind of it. And you're asking a second question, even if we didn't get wind of it, and we have no intervention here, but maybe there's a moral issue here, a religious moral issue, what should he do, klapei atzmo, if he suspects? Yeah. So, in my opinion, and we're going to have to prove this.
Maybe halacha, that if he thinks so, from a halacha point of view, he has to act.
I don't think you'll find that in Shulchan Aruch, and I'll tell you why you won't find it. Because there's something called a cheskas kashrus, which means every individual is innocent until proven guilty. If he has some sort of feeling or sense or intuition or, he's playing around in his mind, maybe, that's not worth a dime. That's meaningless in a halacha. He doesn't have to be machmir and take it upon himself. She has a cheskas kashrus. And the cheskas, it's only when he testifies, I know I found a pesach pasuach. And even if we can't objectively accept that testimony, but he's believed klapei atzmo for himself, then the halacha intervenes and says, we don't know one way or the other. You know, and the cheskas kashrus is meaningless to you. It's not reliable at all. But if he just has suspicions and he feels and he thinks, but he has no objective evidence, objective meaning in his subjective world. So here what I wanted to tell you is a famous Shev Shmaitita. And I'm sure of Shimi Wida has discussed it. The Shev Shmaitita wants to know, what is the nature and the definition of Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Disu? And he offers two different approaches. Is it a din of Adam Neman al Atzvo? A person is believed on himself. For example, in Dini Mamanus, if you claim that I owe you money and I deny it, I don't have to pay you up. Hamotzi mechavero olvarai. But if you claim that I don't owe you money, meaning that I paid you back, a loan that I took, and I claim that I do owe you money because I never paid you back, then halacha is hodas bal din kimei eidim, which means we may have no objective evidence to prove that I owe you the money, but nevertheless, a person is believed on himself. I trust myself. And did Socrates say it? The first principle in ethics is love thyself. That's the first way. Says the Shev Shmaitza. He quotes the Marie Basson. There's another approach to Shavya Nafshi Chatichanis. It works me din neder. Just like the Torah says in the Parsha Nedarim, we'll get to it in a few weeks, that a person could be Mechadish and Iser. I can take this piece of bread and say, Kikar Zu Konim Alai, and I can no longer touch it because of the Parsha of Neder. So too, if I say that this woman is the wife of my sister, this Leah, this Rachel is the wife of my sister, that's called a Neder. And that's Shavya Nafshi Chaticha Disu. And the Ketzos, the Baal Shev Shmaita, has two Nafkaminas. Nafkamina number one is your question, Brian. What happens if he thinks it, but he doesn't say it? If you hold it to be din neder, then neder requires haflas pay. He said nothing, there's no neder. If you hold it to be din adam neman al atzmo, he knows and he's believed for himself, and therefore it's awesome. The second afkamina, he says, is there such a thing as hatara? Can this man decide, after he declared that he married Leah, that he wants to change his mind? If you say he's Neman al Atzmo, he can't change his mind. He's already testified to himself. But if it's Midin Darim, the Mari Basin, then Enochinami, the halacha of Hataris Nedarim should kick in. And perhaps we can add a third Nafkamina. The Ketzos has two Nafkaminas. But maybe the third Nafkamina would be, what kind of punishment do we give him? I mean, if it's Adam Neman al Atzmo, maybe we don't have any jurisdiction, you know, to intervene here and force him one way or the other. If it's neder, then the law is that if two witnesses heard a person take a neder and then he violated the neder, we'll give him malchus for that. We'll give him 39 lashes. And you know what? There might be, I just thought, a fourth nafkamina. Does shavya nafshi have to take place in front of Beis Din? If it's a din of the Dorim doesn't require a Beis Din. I can lock myself in this room alone and say, Kikar zu aso alai bekonam. And it's a net, a full-fledged binding net. But if it's a din of Adam Neman al Atzmo, then Nemanis comes through a testimony in front of Beis Din. And again, I don't want to confuse you, but this might depend upon another issue about Eidecha Nem Bisurin. There are Shitas who say that Eidecha Nem Bisurin is only if he testifies in front of Beis Din. Because they understood that Eidecha Nem Bisurin is Eidus, just that here the Halacha requires only one Eid, and in Isurim he's believed as if he was two Eid. If, on the other hand, Eidecha Nem Bisurin is not Midin Eidus, you know, we call him an Eid, but it's not Eidus because the Torah requires two Eidim, then in Isurim he's Naaman. And Naamanis doesn't have to be in front of Beis Din. Okay, how are we doing on the clock here? Okay, Rabosai, we have another minutes and we'll end the shiur. So it says like this: Umi Amar Rav Lozer Hachi, VaAmar Rav Lozer Eino Aisha Neseres Al Baila El Al Iske Kinui Ustira. Rav Lozer himself makes a statement that the only case, the only scenario in which a woman becomes Asur Al Baila, is if there was Kinui and Stira. First, he told her, don't be alone with such and such a person, and then she went ahead and violated his warning as Kini, and she was alone with him. Now, obviously, this is problematic, because we know that in Isha's Neseres Al Baila, with two Eidim, if two Eidim testified that she had that relationship, we don't need Kini and Stira. So there's something fluky going on, and the Gemara is going to pick up on this immediately. But even more fluky, the next two words of Rabbi Lozer, and he says, Ukemaisa Shaya. What does Maisa Shaya mean? This is the case of Bathsheba. And David had a relationship with Bathsheba before Uriah Chiti died. And if that be the case, how could he marry Bathsheba? She's Asur Al Baila. But wait a minute. There was no Kini and Stira in the case of Bathsheba. I mean, Uriah Chiti had no clue that this was going to happen between David and his wife. So what does he mean? Who could Maisa Shaya? But in any event, the Gemara at this point is taking Rabbi Lozer at face value and saying that there's a stira. Here Rabbi Lozer says Pesach Pasuach is enough, and here he says, no, you need Kini and stira. So the Gemara immediately says, wait a minute, before you ask me a kasha from this second statement of Rabbi Lozer, tell me what he's saying over here. Vitispera. This is no logic here. Maisa Shahoya Vikini and stira Hava? Is he proving his principle by quoting the case of Bathsheba? That's not Kini and stira. The Ode, and furthermore, Miasrua. If he wants to prove from Bathsheba and David that Kini and Stira is the way of asking a woman on a husband, then if he assumes, which is very strange, that there was Kini and Stira in the case of Uriah and David, so then why did they ask for her on David? Why did the Beis Din allow David to marry Bathsheba? So the Gemara says, "Hello, Kashi, we misunderstood Rabbi Lozer. Hachi come, this is what he meant. Eino isha neseres al baila elal iske kini ustira mi maisa shahaya. I'm going to prove it to you from Bathsheba. Delo avi kini ustira, and therefore lo itzer. There was no kini ustira, and therefore when we call him, says Gemara. Now that I've made some sense, and we can understand what Rav Lozer is saying, is Mikomakom Kasha. Now we have a stira in Rav Lozer. How can he say Nemon with Pesach Pasuach? And here he's saying it's got to be Kini Ustira. Okay, there are both. So we'll stop here, and believe me, we'll pick it up next time. So I won't be here next Wednesday, or the Wednesday after that, so we'll pick it up on Wednesday. I think it's the 29th of June, maybe. I don't know. I'm not so good at dates.